Mark Twain said, "It's not what I know about the Scriptures, or not what I don't know about Scriptures that bother me. It's what I do know about the Scriptures and don't do. That's what bothers me." In this passage of Scripture that we have read this morning, it doesn't take me long to realize that I'm a little out of step with the type of gospel that Jesus proclaimed to His disciples. I mean, He did say in this passage, "Go and sell what you have." And I'm assuming He means sell all, give alms. And in another place He says, "Take up your cross and follow Me." As I read this passage of Scripture and I think about the commitment that Christ calls us to be a part of, and I think about His disciples as Jesus proclaimed this word to them, and then He makes this statement that I can only imagine what it would have been like to hear the very Son of God say, "Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." I think of those words, "Fear not." I think about those times in life when maybe because of some experience or some bump in the night, an unlocked door, whatever, it caused me to be afraid. I'm reminded of the story they tell of the lion, that he will dig a hole in the ground and he'll stick his head down in the ground and he'll begin to roar, and all the animals in the forest will know that the lion is hungry and he's preparing to eat, and the animals almost become paralyzed with fear. Fear is a terrible thing. And sometimes in this world of ours, we experience fear and anxiety that comes to us from the way that the stock market goes, or the way the economy is fluctuating, or how our employment is being threatened. And when you think about Jesus' words to His disciples, none of this would have distressed them. They had one concern: to do the will of the Heavenly Father. As I meditated upon this passage of Scripture, I thought about those individuals that maybe I have known that have lived this passage. I met a movie star, and I remember her sharing with us, and she surrendered all the glamour of Hollywood and became a missionary to Tibet. I knew an old man who had the riches of Texas, and he sold all of that and became a missionary to Puerto Rico. I have met others who maybe did not have to surrender this world's goods, but have chosen instead to dedicate their lives to the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I knew one other individual who was the heir apparent to the automotive industry in New Zealand. He surrendered all of that to be a minister. I've known of business people who have given up their employment to become instructors in Bible schools and other places to dedicate their life to the furtherance of the gospel. There's a song that you've heard sung, especially during the 60s. People, get ready. There's a train a-coming. You don't need no baggage. You just get on board. Love is the key that keeps them diesels humming. You don't need no ticket to just get on board. I think about those turbulent days during the 60s. And about those times that I have heard songs sung that took me to reflect upon a higher power. And Jesus talks to us in this passage of Scripture about being ready, about being on guard and being prepared for His return. I wonder how many of us know what it means to be on guard. My experience, again, was in the military. I was in a battlefield. It was my responsibility to have the jet ready. And sometimes I would go out to what we call the revetment and to have the plane ready, to have the plane cocked, as they say. The pilot's helmet was there and all of the things that he would need to fly this aircraft. And sometimes I would sit there for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, all day. Nothing would happen. But one day, while sitting there, I heard the truck pull up at the back of the plane. The pilot comes scrambling off. He ran up, got in the cockpit. I handed him his material and put on his helmet, strapped him in, and while I was standing there, he began to crank the engine. That was unusual. You didn't usually do that while the crew chief was standing that close to the intake. He fired it off, and in just a few moments, he was gone. He was gone for several hours, refueling. Even changes came in and took place, and we had other planes come in. They flew there around a hillside in Vietnam all night long. You see, there were two pilots down on a hillside, and as they stood there and they could fire their weaponry and they could keep the enemy away from them, and early the next morning, helicopters flew in and grabbed these pilots off the hillside and brought them back and rode them around the base. And like a parade and sirens blaring and horns blowing. But it all started by being on guard. By being prepared. By being ready. And I wonder if we have any experiences in our life that calls for us, for the cause of the kingdom of God, to be likewise prepared. For Jesus said, like a servant who is ready, prepared for whatever time. Motel 6 says, we'll keep the light on for you. Keeping the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ burning at Main Street. No matter where, no matter when, for all people, we are endeavoring to communicate that we have a faith that causes us to believe that Jesus Christ is going to return. The disciples believed that Jesus was coming in their day. They believed that He was coming in their generation. We can't answer the questions of why hasn't Jesus come. But we can, like them, unite our hearts and commit ourselves in mission and in ministry and be prepared. In the Jewish community, a wedding was more than just a couple hours experience. In the Jewish community, the bridegroom would come at whatever time he so chose, and it was for those that were waiting on him to be ready. He would go with his bride and they would celebrate. And you know the story of Jesus' first miracle when he turned the water into wine. It was a time of massive celebration. It was a time to party. And in this passage, Jesus is speaking to them about an experience like that, and he says, blessed are those servants who are prepared, no matter whether it's midnight or early morning. But so oftentimes, when we read these kingdom parables, these kingdom stories, there's a dramatic reversal. Instead of the slaves getting up and feeding and catering and taking care of the master, it's the master who comes in and has the slaves to sit. And he serves them. We can only imagine what it's going to be like in that great day when we're all gathered in, as the song says, and we sit down at the marriage feast of the Lamb and we experience God, Son Jesus Christ, serving us. We who are slaves, we who are servants, the good news is that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And we, though being the chiefest of sinners, Christ died for us and He loves us and He calls for us to be an expectant people, to stay on guard. To stay on guard for ministry and to stay on guard for mission and for the opportunities to share the good news of Christ. The other week I visited with one of my good friends back in the Florence area. And he began to share with me a personal concern about the well-being of his son. He said, I have never seen my son so upset. I really was wondering whether he was going to have a heart attack or not. And as we talked about what happened to him, his son lived just a few blocks from his house. And during the day, somebody broke into his home and stole his belongings. And he shook his head and said, I've never seen him so upset in all of my life. Jesus says here, if the master would have known at what hour the thief was coming, he would have been prepared, but he didn't know, and so we don't know. We don't know when Christ is going to return. But we hear the commission. Be ready. Be prepared. Be a disciple. Do good deeds. Respond to those that are around us. Embrace this gospel of the kingdom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.